turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll be looking at the same verses that we took the message from this morning. Again, we want to read verses 14 through verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Again, as we saw this morning, the culture of the city of Ephesus was materialistic, very pleasure-oriented, very idolatrous and immoral culture. Within the church, there were some false teachers, Hymenaeus and Alexander. There were some obstacles and hindrances as a result of their false teachings. And Paul had a great concern for this church. Again, he spent 3 years pastoring the church and working with the elders of the church, and he had warned them that false teachers would rise up amongst them. Notice over in the book of Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. Again, he's speaking to the elders of the church. He said, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves. That's not talking about the membership as a whole. He's, I believe, talking about the elders. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So we see in those words, when he departed from Ephesus, he had a concern for them and he had a great burden for them. With that in mind, our text is the second of two prayers recorded by Paul in the book of Ephesus. The first one is in Ephesians 1, verses 15 through verse 23, where the emphasis in that prayer is upon spiritual enlightenment. We see now in our text, we come to the second prayer of Paul for this church, and the emphasis is more upon spiritual enablement. So you put the two together, and basically what he's praying for is that the people would be able to lay hold of what God has done for them, and that God would become a very vital part in their lives. Both prayers deal with the spiritual condition of the inner man and not the material needs of the body. And that is a matter of emphasis. And we see this in all of Paul's recorded prayers. The emphasis is always upon the spiritual. And again, I believe that there's an important lesson there. It's not that we are not to pray for material needs. It's not that we're not to pray for physical needs. But the point of emphasis needs to be spiritual matters. In both prayers, it can be said that Paul is praying for the church as a whole. And, of course, he's praying for the individual members of the church. Because the church will never be what it should be on a whole if the individual members that make up that church are not right. So he's praying for both. He's praying for the church collectively. He's praying for the church individually. The actual request of his prayer are again recorded in verses 16 through 19. And the verses that are around the actual request, as we saw this morning, reveal the heart and mindset of Paul. We see by reading the words that are around the actual prayer itself, he prayed out of a sense of need. In verse 14, he said, "For this cause." Now, he said the same thing in verse 1 of chapter 3. He said, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ." And he had just finished telling them about the blessings of salvation, about the blessings of the grace of God. And then here in verse 14, "For this cause," I believe that would immediately go back to verse 13, where he said, "I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father." So we see that there was a need, the immediate context being that you faint not. We see also that his prayer was prayed with great seriousness, earnestness, and fervency. He said, "I bow my knees." It was prayed in humility. We see also it was prayed in faith. We see that in verses 14 and 15, he believed in the loving care of God the Father. In verse 16, he believed that God is gracious, that he would grant you. That's grace. We see also in verse 16, he believed in the sufficiency of God, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. We see also he believed in the power of God, that God was able to do what he was praying for. And we saw that this morning in verse 20. We also see by the words around these requests, he prayed with a proper motive. In verse 21, he said, "Unto him be glory in the church." His motive for praying was that God would be glorified, that God would be glorified in the church of Ephesus. The word glory means honor. So his motive was that God would be honored. The word glory means to exalt and to magnify. So his motive was that God would be exalted, that God would be magnified. The word glory means to show forth one's greatness. And this was his motive, that God's greatness would be on display. And Paul's motive and desire for praying what he prayed was that attention would be drawn to God, that he would get all the glory. The word glory also means that God would glow, that God would glow in the church, that people could see the glowing of God. This is why he desired these prayers to be answered, so that God would glow in the church, so that people could see the Lord. Now, as we look at these requests, the prayer is basically fourfold, but we must not view them simply as individual petitions. Because as you read here, you see that one request leads into the next one, and so on. In other words, they're connected. We see that by the repetition of the word "that." Notice in verse 16, "that." The word "that" means "so." So. So that he would grant you. Verse 17, going into another request, "that." Verse 17 again, we see "that ye being rooted and grounded in love." Verse 19, "and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge," that. So we see, we can't just look at these as individual petitions. They're all connected. When one of these prayers is answered, the other one is answered as well. And they need to be viewed as a whole, though we will look at them individually. The first prayer is a prayer for inner strength. In verse 16, he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That word strengthen means to become stronger. He's saying, I pray that you would become stronger in the inner man. That you would be reinforced in the inner man. Notice it is strengthened with might. Strengthened with might. That is, that you would become stronger with the might, with power and with the vigor and the energy and the ability. Strengthened with might. And then notice this strength, the source of this strength, by or through His Spirit. This is the source of this strength that He's praying for. It's not a strength that you and I can work up. It's a supernatural strength that only God can give. That you might be strengthened in might or in power, in vigor, in energy, and ability by or through His Spirit. In the inner man. The inner man. He's not praying about physical strength. He's praying about spiritual strength. And he says his strength comes from the Spirit of God. And he's praying that they would be strengthened inwardly by the Spirit of God. Notice in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We see in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, we read those words, be strong. That is, be continually strengthened or made stronger in the Lord and in the power of His might, or in the strength and force of His might. So these are prayers that we would be made stronger by His strength working in us, by His force working in us. And again, it's an inner strength, that you would be strengthened in the inner man. The question tonight is, do we see individually, do we see a need for an inner strengthening from God? The question is, do we desire an inward strengthening from God? Keep in mind that God is able to grant the request. Verse 20. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Are you willing tonight to pray that God would strengthen you inwardly by His Spirit, believing that He is able to do so exceeding abundantly? And we pray this for this reason: unto Him be glory in the church. The reason we desire to be strengthened inwardly as individuals and collectively as a church is that God would glow in the church. If each and every member that is here this evening would be strengthened inwardly by the Spirit of God, God would glow in the church. All attention would be drawn to God. Secondly, there is a prayer for a deeper experience of Christ. Again, these are connected. If the first prayer is answered, I believe the second one will follow. But verse 17, that is strengthened to such a degree so Christ may dwell or reside and abide in our hearts. To dwell is to settle down and feel at home. That Christ would settle in our hearts. That Christ would make our hearts home. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, which of course is the seat of the soul, by faith. This is a prayer for a deeper experience of Jesus Christ. This goes beyond a mere surface relationship. This is a deeper experience of Jesus Christ. This is a ever-deepening fellowship with Jesus Christ. That our fellowship with Christ would be stronger. This is a prayer for a spiritual sight of Christ. This is a prayer for spiritual knowledge of Jesus Christ. A prayer of spiritual enjoyment of Jesus Christ. How many tonight truly enjoy Jesus Christ? How many tonight truly experience Jesus Christ? This is what this prayer is about. That Christ would dwell in our hearts. And if this happens, that will strengthen us that much more in the inward man. The more we're strengthened, the more we experience Christ. And the more we experience Christ, the more we are strengthened. Again, these things go together. This is a prayer that our heart would be occupied with Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ would dwell in our hearts. It means it is a prayer that Jesus Christ would have the chief place in our thoughts and in our affections. It is a prayer that Christ would be the supreme thing in our lives. It is a prayer that Christ would control and dominate our lives. That He would dwell in our hearts. It is a prayer that Christ would be the nature and Christ would be the object of our lives. That He would be the center of our lives. That He would be the center of all of our interests. That He would be the center of everything we seek. That He would be the center of all of our passions and all of our goals and all of our aims and all of our choices. That Jesus Christ would be the center of all things. This is the result of being strengthened. But it also results in strengthening the inner man. These are things that we ought to aspire to each and every day. To be strengthened every day in the inward man by the Spirit of God. To have a deeper personal experience with Jesus Christ each and every day. None of us ought to ever be satisfied without a deep personal experience of Christ on a daily basis. We should not be satisfied with a mechanical relationship. We must have a deepening experience of Christ. It is a prayer for Christ to be the meaning of our life. It is a prayer that Christ would be an influential force in our lives. It is a prayer that our lives would be all about Christ. And notice what this leads to. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. The more we experience Christ, the deeper our roots become. That means to be firmly established as a tree. But it also speaks of nourishment and stability. And then he goes on and he says, and grounded. That is, as a building is upon a foundation in love. Keep in mind, God is able to grant the request. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If you and I would pray that we could have a deeper personal experience with Christ, God is able to answer that prayer exceeding abundantly. Above all that we ask or think. The question is, do we see a need tonight for a deeper personal experience with Jesus Christ? Each and every individual seeing a greater need for a personal experience of Jesus Christ. I believe it's my privilege. I believe it's your privilege. I believe it's our opportunities every single day to experience personally Jesus Christ. To sit down every single day and have fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's what it means for Him to dwell in our hearts.
It means that we talk with him. He talks with us. We have fellowship. We are friends. So many today, they know about Christ doctrinally, and it is important that we know the doctrine of Christ, but that will never replace a personal experience of Jesus Christ. So we need to pray that God, that Jesus Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. God is able to answer the request. Why should we pray that? Unto him be glory in the church. Because each and every one of us, if we have a deeper personal experience with Christ, guess who's going to glow in the church? The Lord. Guess who's going to be seen in the church? The Lord. This is the answer. These prayers are the answer to church problems. These are the answers. If we would just have a deeper personal experience with Christ, we would see a glowing of the Lord in the church. Imagine if every single one of us today had a personal experience of Christ. We spent the day talking with Christ. We've spent the day listening to Christ. We've spent the day walking with Christ. We know him more than we did yesterday. We appreciate and love him more than we did yesterday. If that would happen every single day, the church would get stronger each and every day. And the Lord would glow more and more every single day. But you look at most churches today, and you don't see the glow of the Lord. You don't see it. You see personalities, but you don't see that glow of the Lord. It's not something we can create. And I'm afraid Baptists have made this mistake. Well, it's missing, so we're gonna create it. No, you're not. You can't create this. This is God. We need to be praying that God would strengthen each one of us inwardly. And we need to be praying that each one of us would have a deeper personal experience of Jesus Christ. This leads to the next thing. Being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend. That is, that you might be able to grasp. Begin to grasp. Begin to lay hold of and receive personally what is the breadth or the width that speaks of the immensity of Christ's love and the length. And we might be able to get a grasp of the length of Christ's love. The length of Christ's love, of course, is ceaseless and it's endless. And the depth. The depth. The depth is from top down. From the top down. Think about the depth of Christ's love. From top down. That is, how far is it from the throne of God to miserable, sinful men in the mire of sin? The depth. The depth of Christ's love. The depth of Christ's love speaks of how far Jesus Christ is willing to stoop. And if we could just get a grasp, if we could just get hold of how far Christ was willing to stoop to save our soul, that would strengthen the inner man and make us more like him. And then he talks about the height from down up. From down up. His love reaches down into the mire and lifts us up out of it. Oh, that we could grasp the love that brought us out of the mire
and the filth of sin. From the mire, we have been lifted from the mire to a life that can never be forfeited. To get a grasp of that love. And then he goes on, he says, and to know. That is, to be aware, to be fully conscious, and to be able to perceive the love of Christ, which passeth. What that means is, it is past fully knowing, which passeth knowledge. Paul is praying that these members of the church of Ephesus would get a grasp on that which is past knowing. And oh, what a difference. What a difference that will make in our life. So what this is, it is a prayer that we would be able to grasp, that we would be able to experience personally the dimensions of Christ's love. That we would be able to grasp and experience all the aspects of His love. That we would come to a fuller knowledge and a greater experience of the love of Christ. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth us. It becomes a force in our lives. And God is able to grant the request. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And oh, how we need to pray. Every time we open the Word of God, we need to pray, Lord, help me to get a grasp of You. You can buy all the commentaries you want, but I'm telling you, nothing will work as well as praying for God to cause you to get a grasp of what is said. And for God to give us a grasp of the love of Jesus Christ. The reason that we should pray this, again, verse 21, unto Him be glory. In other words, that He would glow in the church. We see also a prayer for a fullness of God. Notice verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that, again, one goes into the other, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We see that all fullness dwells in Christ. That's an interesting phrase. All fullness seems somewhat redundant. But the emphasis is upon a supernatural fullness. And here we see that you might be filled or made full with all fullness or with all completeness, with the exhaustiveness of God. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, what a difference it would make if we were just more full of God. To be more full of God, I must be less filled with myself. With all the fullness of God. It is a prayer to be filled with God Himself. It is a prayer to be filled with all that God imparts. You think of all that God imparts. And Paul is praying here that these individuals would be filled with everything that God imparts. And only what God can impart. And He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We look at areas in our lives that we're disappointed with, and we say, well, we're going to work harder on that area, and we should, but don't forget to pray that God would fill us. Because I'm telling you, that'll fix it. When God fills us, that will fix our weaknesses. Filled with all the fullness of God. It is a prayer to be overflowing with God. Imagine if each one of us was overflowing with God and we met here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night and we're all overflowing with God. Guess what? God is going to glow
in this building. Unto Him be glory in the church. It is a prayer to be saturated with God. Oh, what a prayer. That you and I would be saturated with God. That God would fill every part of our life. That we would be so filled with God that it would affect every single part of our life. So many today, they're trying to distinguish between a worldly life and a spiritual life, and they put these things in two different categories. That's wrong. We're to be so filled with God that it affects every part of our life. Every part. So much so that it affects everything that we do. So filled with God that it affects all of our earthly relationships. So filled with God that it affects the way we walk, that it affects the way we talk, that it affects what we see, it affects how we see, it affects how we think. So filled with God that we're willing to follow Him wherever He might lead. So filled with God that we're willing to do whatever it takes to please Him. It is a fullness that flows from Him. What a blessing. There is a fullness that flows from God. And it is our privilege, it is our opportunity to be filled with the fullness of God. And God is able to answer the request. Verse 20 again. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And why should we pray for a fullness of God? Unto Him be glory in the church. That He would be seen in Home Baptist Church. That when people walk into Home Baptist Church, there would be a glow. The glow of Christ. The glow of God. And when you are in the presence of that glow, you can't escape it. You feel it. It's going to make some people very uncomfortable. But everybody that walks in these doors, whether they are in agreement with us or not, they ought to be able to see there's a glow. It's not a glow that you and I can create. It is a glow that is caused by God being, by our inner man being strengthened, by Christ dwelling in us, by you and I having a fuller grasp of His love, and by you and I being filled with the fullness of God. The result is there's a glow. That ought to be our desire. Unto Him be glory in the church. That ought to be our desire. We ought to pray these things because we desire such. So we see we need to live within this framework of continuous inward strengthening. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man, the flesh, gets tired. The physical bodies get tired. The physical bodies wear down. But our inward man ought to be renewed day by day. And again, that's not something you and I can work up. That is through His Spirit, the strengthening of the inner man. And that leads to a deeper and always growing experience and fellowship with Jesus Christ, which leads to a greater grasp and experience of Christ's love, which leads to an overflowing of God within us. And then we come to this, unto Him. Unto Him. That's a real problem today. There aren't a whole lot of God's people whose attitude and spirit is unto Him. What that means is it's all about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. Who is it that has this attitude unto Him? Unto Him be glory. Is it not the ones who are strengthened inwardly day by day? Is it not the ones who have a deeper personal experience with Christ every single day? Is it not those who have a greater grasp of the love of Christ? Is it not those who have a fullness of God? These individuals realize that it's unto Him. It's all about Him. Unto Him. Unto Him. The more that we have these things that we've already mentioned, the more we realize it's all about Him. Not only do we realize it more, we desire it more. Unto Him. Unto Him be glory. The more that each one of us is inwardly strengthened, the more we grow in our experience and fellowship with Christ, the more we grasp and personally experience the love of Christ, and the more that we are filled with God, the more of His glory shows forth in the church. The more that He is honored. That's what it's all about, honoring the Lord. And that requires an inward spiritual condition. For God to be honored, for God to be exalted, for God to be magnified, for God to be displayed in Home Baptist Church. That ought to be the desire of each and every one of us. And each and every one of us ought to do our part. How do we do that? We pray. We pray every day that God would strengthen us, to begin with, us as individuals. That Christ would dwell in our hearts, that we would have a deeper personal relationship with Christ, that each one of us would pray as individuals, that God would make me stronger, that God would give me a greater personal experience of Jesus Christ, that I would get a fuller grasp of the love of God, and that I would be filled with God. And this is how God is honored and glorified. When this happens, when a whole body does this every single day, prays these things every day. Not only do you pray them for yourself, you pray these prayers for all the other church members. Lord, strengthen them inwardly. They may be going through rough times, but Lord, what they need more than anything is inward strength. Give them a deeper experience of Christ. How often do we pray this way for ourselves? And how often do we find ourselves praying this way for the members of the body? This will result in a glow. Remember when the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle? That word glory speaks of a weight. A weight is something that you can feel. And the way to have the glory of the Lord in the church is to be spiritually right with God. It's going to take more than one or two or three or a little group over here or a little group over here being right with God. I mean, if we want the glory, each one of us, first of all, as individuals, need to get serious about our own spiritual condition. We need to take care of our own spiritual condition, and we need to plead with God, Lord, make me what I ought to be. And then we need to pray for others.
Lord, help them. Help them. Strengthen them. And then when we come together collectively, oh, what a difference. There's that glow. All attention is upon Christ. All attention is upon the Lord. And that's what it ought to be about. And if we each, in our daily lives, we may not see each other, but each one of us take care of our own spiritual condition, and then we come into the house of God, I'm here to tell you that'll be a place you'll want to be if you're right with God. If you're not right, you'll be pretty uncomfortable. But it's a sad day when those who aren't right are more comfortable than those who are. That's a sad time. We need to take care of our own spiritual needs. And oh, what a difference it'll make. Brother Larry, if you'd come.